I heard that that is not a good brand of drink.
You Pabst Blue Ribbon? Do you want to try?
Sure, I've never had it.
Psych! Howdy roundabout, Shaggy Goose Egg Boys, and Chris is a bitch.
Is that the coffee one?
Yeah, here, you can try it.
I think you...
Oh, wait, actually, it's not too bad.
Can you hear me now that I'm, like, kind of leaning
yeah,
back?
Yeah.
Okay, just making sure.
So here we are, people in the new apartment, and we're on the floor, because I don't have a table yet.
Table!
Smell that.
And it's...
Wow, that's...
3 o'clock in the afternoon, and I'm drinking a...
He tried to give us schnapps.
Yeah,
he gave me schnapps.
He gave Chris schnapps. I smelled it and almost passed out.
The last person that needs schnapps.
He gave Fano schnapps.
Schnapps. His fingers.
I am Iron Man.
I am schnapps.
But yeah, so here we are. And then we're going to go film a little thingy. So, about Mario. Keep your eyes on that, boy.
Yeah, Chris's keep your eyes on that. It's not going to be on the YouTube channel that nobody watches. Watch our skits more, please. If you love us.
People do watch our skits. What are you talking about?
I know, but we need more.
More!
More!
All right, Kylo Ren. I met a guy last night that looked like Adam Driver and Napoleon Dynamite.
At the same time, yeah.
Of course, he was just standing around, so it was more like, you know, Adam, like Parker.
Adam Idol.
No, that's Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah.
All right, boys. Wait.
House cleaning thing real quick. This is the last episode
I was about to do that.
Of the summer series. Well, I wanted to interrupt you.
House cleaning? Is that not...
I think you mean like house feeding.
What? No, it's house cleaning.
It is house cleaning.
Yeah.
No, it is housekeeping.
It's housekeeping. No.
It's housekeeping.
Housekeeping.
Sorry,
housekeeping.
You know what we should do? Instead of that, we should do what Gus Johnson does and Eddie Burback. Business, 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 business.
Yeah. It's cool that you watch YouTube.
I watch more YouTube. It's a podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, go but back to what you were saying. Right, yeah. No, not this one. It was a different one.
Yeah.
Business, 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 business.
Business.
Shit. It's the coffee.
The little sip and the schnapps. This is the last summer series episode that we're doing, and we're going to be moving into bi-weekly releases. From here on, I don't know if that's going to start with another release or if we're going to skip a week and then go into the bye week. I don't know. We'll see.
Keep your eyes peeled, boys.
And maybe we're still working on it, but maybe we will be filming the podcast from now on. We'll still be releasing it audio as well, obviously, but.
No audio,
just video. So it'll be kind of the other half of what you've been missing. But. Yeah, so this way, if you want to watch as well, and you know, I'm sure we can do more sight gags and stuff, which we do constantly, anyways.
For those of you who can't see,
will no longer apply.
No, it will apply. It'll apply more.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Because it'll be video,
Be on the lookout for that, and we'll keep you guys updated. Hopefully, we were able to do that, but we'll see.
Yeah, also,
and
continue.
Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, any of our artsy Shaggy Goose Eggs, if you wanna
Goose Egg Boys, Chris,
Goose Egg Boys and
well,
girls,
yeah, I was gonna say,
no, and, they're all boys.
Okay. Any of our fans out there who listen to us who are artsy and would like to, you know, make a new thumbnail for us, that would be cool because we need one for this new series coming up.
Yeah, apparently my skills aren't good enough.
Just the three of our heads, you know. Just kind of
the ones, the ones with our brain, not
yeah. Well,
or if you just have any like you know fan art or yeah. whatever.
That's if you have cool any farts, this, you know, yeah, that's short for fan art. I saved my breath.
Farts, I like that.
And then you explained
that's
it.
That's what we're
so...
gonna call it from yeah, now on.
Yeah. All right. Well,
I had a stroke.
What a way to close out the summer series with none other than.
With other, none other than.
Yeah, I think you need to lay off the drink.
Yeah, you need to lay off the schnapps and the coffee in a can.
Hey.
Hey.
It's not
SpongeBob SquarePants movie.
What if none other than the SpongeBob SquarePants movies.
Movies?
What is going on?
It's the floor.
This is an audio podcast and you cannot speak.
It's the floor. It's the floor.
It's the floor. It's messing them up.
This is crazy. This is the last episode. I've had fun.
It's not the last episode.
What's the last episode of the series?
This is the last.
Not the last episode of the series either.
Of the season.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll give that to you. Yeah, it is crazy. Here we are. Started out doing Leprechaun and now we're here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Started from the bottom, now we're here.
And
viewership has increased 0.5%, which
from the bottom, now we're
I don't know if you want your name to be said, so I'm not gonna say it. Guy, when we were doing the Fast Five skit, hey, shout out to you, bro.
Oh, yeah, you know who you are. Yeah. You know maybe you're listening. Yeah. Super
this
nice
one's
guy.
For you.
Scared the shit out of me in the parking lot.
Also,
came out of nowhere.
Oh,
I did not. I was looking at my phone and I looked up and he was there. Scared me, but super cool guy.
Yeah. We're talking about the Fast and Furious 5 skit, by the way, which if you haven't watched our skits yet, you need to. It's on the School Night Studios YouTube channel. You can look it up.
Will we be posting the podcast video? I will talk about that.
We'll talk about
anyways.
It.
Also, you know, I mean, for those of you who've seen this movie, I mean, you know what a fantastic film this is. Yeah. And originally, Thomas and I had been hesitant to do this because I do think that innately this is a profound movie and you can tell that on the surface, but I think
well below the surface.
Well, right.
Water.
Yeah.
Because it's big water. Yeah.
But I think we're running into a situation that's kind of like Fast Five. We'll get into that after the recap, but I wanted to preface with that. Also, you know, this film, so my roommate, Lucas, and my best friend of 12 years, we just parted ways for the final time, at least for the
foreseeable future.
So it's been rough. And I think, you know, watching this film that is about friendship, again, we'll get into, you know, one of those things. So, Lucas, this one's for you too, bub.
I've only known Jake for 2 years, and I don't consider him my friend, so I didn't feel any special attachment. So.
I don't like it.
Yeah.
I love it. $10.
$10. I'll give
Chris
you
doesn't know it. Chris doesn't know it. Yeah. That means we get to punch him in the nuts.
Just dead silence while I mouth a word to him.
Did you say
Chris! Chris!
Damn it.
All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to operate on the honor system. If you said Ratatouille before Chris said Ratatouille,
then you get $10. We'll mail you your $10.
But if you didn't, then you don't get it. Yeah. A, and we'll know.
I'll know.
How much money do we owe people?
Well, nobody has claimed anything, so nothing.
Yeah, so I was going to say, you don't owe anybody anything until they ask for it.
So this is real. Like if they get it, yeah, so, you know.
And for some reason, they just don't.
And as Jake is in charge of the podcast,
media, you can get money.
Hey, it's coming. It's getting written off, so it's okay.
Oh, yeah, for tax reasons.
Right,
yeah. For charity. All right.
Yeah.
All right, should we dive into this movie?
Recap.
All right.
How you doing over there, Kyle? Kyle's laying on the ground.
I'm laying on a beanbag and my legs are sticking out of the recording booth.
Just to clarify.
I'm so scared that somebody's going to grab me.
There's no one else here but us.
I know, but still. I can't see.
Okay.
I need my feetsies covered.
All right, Chris, hit him with it.
All right, so just to clarify, this is the first SpongeBob movie, the only one that really counts, the one that came out in 2004. Fucking love this movie. Let's dive right into it. Okay. So SpongeBob the movie opens up in real life on the set of Pirates of the Caribbean. When
that's my joke.
Where Johnny Depp and all the pirates are singing sea shanties and they find a treasure chest of tickets to the SpongeBob movie, which is the holy grail of every pirate's dreams. And so they sail over to the nearest movie theater on a dock and they go and watch the SpongeBob movie. In the movie, we see SpongeBob looking cool, and there's a crisis over at Krusty Krab, and Mr. Krabs tells them that there was a customer who didn't have cheese on his Krusty Krab patty, and so SpongeBob, being all cool, goes in and he calms the customer down, gives him the cheese on his patty, and he is celebrated as the hero of the day and as the best fry cook of the Krusty Krab.
And it's done completely seriously, and it's like an old like cop show or something.
Yeah, or almost like a noir.
Yeah,
it's really cool. And then psych, SpongeBob wakes up. That wasn't real, it was just a dream sequence. And SpongeBob is excited because today's the day that Mr. Krabs opens up the Krusty Krab 2, and he will be announcing the new manager. And considering the fact that SpongeBob has made the employee of the month for like 300 and something consecutive months, which means
374
months,
which, if you do the calculations,
32 years,
boys.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That went right
over my
head.
Jesus wasn't even alive for 32 years. Well, maybe like 35.
It was somewhere between 31 and 33. Yeah.
So potentially.
SpongeBob is Jesus.
Well, that's
and
not...
Shrek is God.
And Shrek is God. So do the math.
Cartoon characters are what we worship.
In case you didn't know yet.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so SpongeBob being excited goes over to the grand opening of the Krusty Krab 2 in confidence that he is going to be dubbed the general manager for the store. And so Mr. Krabs gets on stage and he says, announcing the new Krusty Krab manager, his name starts with an S, it's Squidward, because Squidward is an adult, and unlike SpongeBob, and I think he's more mature to handle this job. And so SpongeBob very emotionally, stably does the right decision, and then basically gets what Adam Sandler from Grown Ups would define as wasted with Patrick, his best friend. They get chocolate wasted at the
that's good Grown Ups reference.
Yeah,
Kyle, you should say 10 bucks.
Well, yeah, but that one was so deep cut, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, which is, never mind.
I am feeling miserable, by the way.
Do not make that joke.
Well, never mind. So anyway, yeah, SpongeBob is really depressed, and he basically just
I'm ready.
Drinks. Depression. Yeah. When he walks off, depression. He says, "I'm ready, depression. I'm ready, depression." When beforehand he was saying, "I'm ready, promotion," because he was so happy and full of joy. But anyway, he basically just drinks himself to the point where he passes out. And he wakes up, and meanwhile, through all this, Plankton is doing his average Plankton things, and he's plotting to steal the Krusty Krab secret the Krabby Patty secret formula. And he comes upon a old plan that he wrote out for himself that is sure to not fail. And that starts with him stealing the crown of King Neptune. So now we're all caught up. SpongeBob comes very angry. SpongeBob walks over to the Krusty Krab, and at this point Mr. Krabs is confronted by King Neptune, who thinks that he stole the crown, and he's like, "Well, if you didn't steal it, then, like, do you have a witness who can say that, like, you didn't do this?" And so SpongeBob comes in, and Mr. Krabs is like, "Oh, SpongeBob can testify." And SpongeBob...
Careful, SpongeBob!
Yeah, SpongeBob being as chocolate-wasted and angry at Mr. Krabs as he is, basically just tells him that, yeah, he used to be a good guy, but now he's just a big jerk, da-da-da-da-da. And so King Neptune, who really wants his crown because he's bald... says, "Okay, I'm a kill Mr. Krabs then, because he stole the crown." And SpongeBob was like, "Wait, no, okay, I don't like Mr. Krabs, but I'm going to do the mature thing and try and prove his innocence." And so so he's like, "Okay, I'll give you 10 days to go to Shell City to find my crab.
To find my
crown before I before I execute Mr. Krabs. And Patrick says he'll do it in 9. And the King Neptune's like, okay, whatever. You got 6 days. You got 6 days to bring back the crown. And so SpongeBob and Patrick drive a sandwich to Shell City.
And SpongeBob goes,
You don't need a license to drive a sandwich.
Which is a good continuity save, because if you are a fan of SpongeBob, you know that SpongeBob cannot drive. He's really bad at it. Mm-hmm. But not when it's a Krabby Patty, which I think in itself is profound. But I think it is. But so anyway, they make it to the border of Bikini Bottom, and
will that be mustard?
Or ketchup.
Yeah, they stop at a gas station right at the border, and they're heckled by those two redneck guys. And as soon as they cross the border, they get their car stolen.
Out of the car, fellas.
Yeah, immediately they get their car stolen. And so they have to trek.
How many seconds was that?
It was 12.
12.
Yeah, because the hecklers say that you guys want to make it 10 seconds past the line, and they make it 12. So, you know, they prove them wrong.
It's true.
And so they trek on foot to Shell City. And meanwhile, Plankton is thriving over at the Chum Bucket because he was able to steal the Krabby Patty secret formula, and now he's making Krabby Patties, and he's getting all Mr. Krabs' business. And Squidward figures out that there's something going on, so he goes to confront Plankton about
what?
It.
What? Who said that? Huh? Down here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he... I'm trying to think.
He confronts Plankton.
He only confronts Plankton, not because of Mr. Krabs' safety, but more because
he needs his paycheck.
Who's gonna sign my paycheck?
You messed with my paycheck. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna report you to the highest authority in the land, King Neptune.
Yeah, but part of Plankton's plan is, Neptune's kind of almost working for him because. With all the Krabby Patties he's selling these Chum Bucket helmets, kind of like Happy Meals, and he reveals that they are brainwashing devices where he like pushes a button and everyone wearing those helmets basically just becomes zombies working for him.
Zombies.
Yeah, but the Chum Bucket doesn't sell cranberries, so, you know. Anyway, bad joke.
Funny.
Also, in that, it is revealed that he has sent a bounty hunter over for SpongeBob and Patrick. And the bounty hunter is on their trail.
His name is Dennis.
Yeah, his name's Dennis. And as SpongeBob stop at this bar where they see that their car that was stolen is...
Hold on. Jake is gone right now. I want future Jake, when he edits this, to know I fucking hate you. I fucking hate you.
Also, his Wi-Fi password is cow sucks turds.
Yeah, it's crank. So if you're ever driving around and you see the... you ever see the Wi-Fi crank, then you can... You can log on by capital K. Kyle sucks. Or wait. Kyle sucks turds. Yeah, that's what it's called.
Yeah.
So
the K is capitalized.
Yeah, the K is capitalized.
Yeah. Who lives at Ivy Green?
Capital K. Why did you say where he lived? I just
my brain.
Jake can put this out.
So anyways.
Yeah, so anyways, SpongeBob and Patrick stop at this bar where they see that their stolen car is out in the parking lot, and they're like,
I go back to listen. I'm going to hear everything you
say. And they're like, oh, well, there's no key. And they see that the burglar has the key in the back pocket, and they're like, okay, we need to go in and cause a distraction. And so Patrick goes in, and he says, may I have everybody's attention? I need to go to the bathroom. And so they point him to the bathroom, and SpongeBob isn't able to get the key because it was a very short distraction. And so SpongeBob and Patrick meet up in the bathroom, and SpongeBob's like, dude, that wasn't a very good distraction. Oh, hey.
He goes, I had to use the bathroom.
Oh, hey, the soap dispenser, like... But they notice that the soap dispenser shoots out bubbles, and them being like...
Are you ready, Kyle? Yeah. He goes, nah, nah, nah. No, you need to do the other one.
Oh.
I go, nah, nah, nah.
Yeah. The bubbles.
I'll do it by myself. Nah, nah, nah. Nah, nah, nah. Nah, nah, nah.
I only knew the Patrick noise.
Anyway, yeah, they go crazy because they see bubbles. And they go,
hey, who's blowing bubbles?
Yeah. I
don't
the...
think we know how to weed them out.
All right, Jay. Okay.
So anyway, the bubbles make it out into the main bar, and the guys...
Do, 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 do.
And then every like manly man there is like, hey, who blew this bubble? We got a rule here. Every bubble-blowing bubble baby must be beaten. No, how's it go?
All bubble blowing babies will be beaten senseless by every able body in the bar.
Bar.
Yeah. So they have a rule that if you show any sign of being a wimp, and this particular sign is blowing bubbles, then you must be beaten senseless because you're not a real man. And so they line everybody up, SpongeBob and Patrick included, and to test to see who the baby is, quote unquote. They play the Goofy Goober song, which is what SpongeBob and Patrick listened to when they were getting chocolate wasted.
Dude, they fucking melt.
Yeah.
I'm a Goofy Goober, yeah. You're a Goofy Goober, yeah. We're all Goofy Goobers, yeah. Goofy, 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 Goober, yeah!
So they play that song, and SpongeBob and Patrick almost break. But no, it turns
literally.
Out they melt.
They melt like they almost sell themselves out until it. One of the manly men there,
Goofy Goofy Goober Goobers, yeah,
yeah, blurts out the song because they really like the song, and so they beat him up instead. And then the whole
it was him. He did it.
Yeah, they were conjoined twins, by the way, which I think
just
in a figurative sense, SpongeBob and Patrick are that.
Yeah,
person.
We're gonna get there.
Yeah, we'll get there.
It's actually SpongeBob and Squidward. $10.
Aha. Because of that one episode.
Yeah. Anyway, so they get the key out of all the commotion, and so they get in the sandwich and they drive off and continue on. And so the next stop is
they get the ice cream place.
Yeah, they find this, well, it's a graveyard, and in the midst of this like grave boneyard, there's this old lady just ominously selling ice cream. Mm-hmm. And so they stop, and oh, by the way, on the way here, SpongeBob and Patrick have a conversation about what just happened, and SpongeBob's like, wait a minute, Patrick was like making fun of the guy who was saying like, don't think we don't know how to weed them out, talking about the bubble blowing bubble babies. And SpongeBob's like, wait a minute, we blew that bubble. That makes us a baby.
Yeah, because he said no bubble blowers belong out here in man's country.
Yeah, yeah. The whole time they're doing this quest because they were told that they're a kid and that they can't do it. That's not the only reason. But anyway, they meet the old granny, and so they take the ice cream from her, but they notice that it sticks to their hands. Psych, she's actually like the tongue of this huge beast that eats people, and so they get in the sandwich and they like try to drive away from her, but then the sandwich falls off of the cliff, and so does the monster, and so now they're just kind of stranded. And
the monster's eaten by a bigger fish.
Yeah.
Because as Qui-Gon said in episode one, there's always a bigger fish.
And so at this point, SpongeBob's kind of given up, and he's like, there's no way, this is man's country, there's no way that we bubble-blowing babies can do this. And so... they both give up. Well, SpongeBob first, and he has to prove to Patrick that he himself is also a baby because he still wears Goofy Goober underwear. And as they're about to walk off, Mindy comes out of nowhere. who is King Neptune's daughter and heir to his throne.
Voiced by Scarlett Johansson.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah, Patrick has a crush on her.
Wants to show her his star.
She's like, guys, no, you can do this, and they're like, no, we're just stupid kids, and she's like, okay, close your eyes, I'll do some mermaid magic on you and turn you into men, and they're very excited for that, especially Patrick.
Oh, yeah. Mandy's gonna turn him into men, all right.
And so they close their eyes and she puts seaweed on their lips to make seaweed mustaches, and they open their eyes and they're like, oh wow, we're men because we have mustaches. And she's like, you know what that means, right? It means you can do this, go to Shell City. And they're like, yeah, that means that we're invincible. So they just jump off the cliff and what?
It's true. No, it's just funny.
Yeah, they jump off the cliff because they think that now that they're men, they can do anything. There's a whole musical number about that shit.
It's true.
And
now that we're men,
in that they actually we can't do anything. They make it through the trench with all the monsters.
We are invincible.
The monsters really like their song that Jake is using to interrupt me. And they start ham boning and everything. It's really cool. And so they make it out of the trench. And they're doing good. They're making their way to Shell City. They're almost there. And then Dennis stops them. And he's like, hey, I was sent to kill you guys by Plankton. Because Plankton was actually the one who stole the crown. And then afraid Mr. Krabs, I wasn't supposed to tell you that. I said too much. Now I'm going to kill you. And SpongeBob's like, hold up, buddy. We're men. You can't hurt us. We're invincible. We got facial hair. And he's like, oh, you mean this like leftover piece of salad on your lips? He rips off the seaweed and they're like, what? No, Mindy lied to us. And he's like, now I'm going to stomp you with my boot. And then Dennis gets stomped with a bigger boot. He gets stomped by the Cyclops.
Bigger boot.
And SpongeBob thinks that the bigger boot saved them, but no, it's actually the boot of a scuba diver who does sea creature taxidermy. And so he scoops him up and then takes him to the shack. And then now we're at the shack. And
now we're at the shack.
And SpongeBob and Patrick are in a fishbowl. And they're like, oh no, this isn't good. Scoops him out. And the scuba diver puts him on this desk with a big desk lamp, just drying them out, and they like crumple up and die. And right before they die, SpongeBob and Patrick sing the Goofy Goober song one last time, because this shack that they're in is Shell City, and it's where the crown is, so they actually made
Shell City.
They weren't able to make it back, but they're like
Shell City.
They notice that Shell City is just
goofy,
a gift shop.
Goofy Goober.
And so it's very bittersweet because they did do what they were told they couldn't do, but they still failed nonetheless. And so they dry out and die. But right before they do,
to believe so desperately that you are right, yet to fail all the same.
Right before they do, they both shed a single tear that comes down and merges with each other in a shape of a heart. And then it like goes down to the cord that's powering the heat lamp. And it smokes up and shorts out, and the smoke hits the
smoke up and short out, baby.
Smoke up and short out. That's my new catchphrase. That needs to.
I like that.
Smoke up and short out, baby.
Anyway, it triggers the fire alarm, and so now the sprinklers are raining on all the dried up and taxidermied fish people, and they come back to life. SpongeBob and Patrick included, and they beat up the scuba diver, and that was a burp.
Oh, I thought you laughed at that.
SpongeBob and Patrick take the crown, and they run off, and they're on the beach, and they're like, oh, how are we gonna make it back to Bikini Bottom? Oh, I got this bag of winds that Mindy gave us that will take us right back to Bikini Bottom. And so Patrick opens it up, and it flies off without him. And so now they're stranded. And they're like, oh no, what are we going to do? David Hasselhoff from Baywatch He's from Baywatch, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm David Hasselhoff.
Comes walking out onto the shore like the beautiful angel that he is, because he's playing himself, and he's like, "Hey, I can take you to Bikini Bottom." So they ride on Hasselhoff's back, and Hasselhoff doesn't even swim. He basically just uses his dick as like a as like a boat motor, because he's basically just a human speedboat. And and they're like, "All right, we're gonna make it. There's no way anything can harm us now, psych." Dennis arrives up onto the Hasselhoff using the boot that he was squashed on, and he's like, "I'm gonna kill you guys." And they fight for a little bit, but then Dennis gets washed away.
"No, I'm tired of running."
Oh yeah, because says
that. SpongeBob, run!
Yeah, well, anyway, so also, this is the, like, final day. This is the day that Krabs is supposed to die, is supposed to be executed, because they don't have the crown. And
stalling.
So, yeah, Mindy stalls for time. And meanwhile, Hasselhoff is, like, right over Bikini Bottom, and so he launches him down with his boobies. And
who said anything about floating?
Yeah, he basically just launches them onto the crown, into the Krusty Krab, right at the nick of time. And, Nick as a Nickelodeon. And
I hated that.
And Plankton's like, "What? No, you guys
he's
got
getting ready for Claire, if you know what I mean."
Chris, for those of you who can't see,
yeah, for those of you who can't
Chris
see
was basically mounting air.
It's the schnapps.
Yeah,
it's
getting them.
It's making
all,
it feel a certain type
him,
of way.
It's getting them randy.
He's going back. Like,
I'm a cat.
Chris is like, "I don't like cat girls." He's like, "I like being cat girls."
Hey, Anne Hathaway. Anne Hathaway.
Halle Berry.
Wait, wasn't it Anne Hathaway? Oh.
Yeah, I was saying the other one.
Whew, I need more of this.
Okay.
All right.
So. So, Lord of the Rings. So, they get there. They get in the Krusty Krab. They burst in after David Hasselhoff launches them down, and King Neptune is about to destroy Mr. Krabs, because they were about to be late on returning his crown. But the crown get absorbs the blast of King Neptune's trident and launches it up into the sky, which burns David Hasselhoff up on the surface of the water, and the crown is returned. Continue, Chris.
Okay, yes, the crown is returned to King Neptune, and SpongeBob and Patrick are like, "Ah, we hate to rain on your parade," and Plankton's like, "Oh, I'm fine under my umbrella." And
umbrella.
And he hits a button, and the chum bucket king size falls onto King Neptune's head, brainwashing him, and activates the brainwashing of every resident of Bikini Bottom. And so they swarm into the Krusty Krab, and they have SpongeBob and Patrick and Mindy cornered. And he's like, "Haha, I win." And SpongeBob's like, "Yeah, because you cheated." And Patrick and Plankton's like, no, not because I cheated. This isn't a game, you little kid. And SpongeBob says, You know what? I can't remember exactly what he says.
Mm-hmm. Kyle does.
I don't know the quote. I'll pull it up.
And you know what? I may be a wingnut, a knucklehead.
SpongeBob basically
but
says,
"Most of all, I'm a goofy goober." Rock, yeah. Bow, bow, down, bow,
oh
bow.
My god, finish
put
the fucking
put your toys
recap.
Away.
I'm sorry.
Oh my god, stop. Fuck.
Okay, so SpongeBob.
Hey, these are good quotes, okay?
SpongeBob has.
You've laughed at them every time I do them.
SpongeBob has this huge Cinderella speech where he talks about how, like.
I think you mean Cinderella has a SpongeBob speech.
Where he says, "Yeah, you know what? I mean, you win because, you know, you're a dirty, cheating, evil person, but I did everything that everybody said that I couldn't do. I won in my own way. I won this in my own way because I actually succeeded when the odds were against me. And he says, most importantly, I am a goofy goober. I won being a kid. And he has a really cool scene where he basically does like a Goofy Goober parody of the Twisted Sister song, I Wanna Rock. And he frees everybody with his awesome rock star wizard guitar solo and breaks all the... He blows everybody's... he master explodes everybody's helmets off.
Uh-huh.
And everybody's freed of the brain control. And Mr. Krabs is freed and innocent. Plankton is thrown in jail. And Mr. Krabs presents him with the Krusty Krab 2 manager title. And everyone lives happily ever after.
The Ocean Man, take me by the hand, lead me to the land that you understand. All right, now that Chris has consumed half of the podcast.
I'm sorry.
And you know, I've been through a lot in the past 6 days, 5 minutes, 27 and a half seconds. And if I've learned anything during that time, it's that you are who you are. And no amount of mermaid magic or managerial promotion or some other third thing can make me be any more than what I am inside, a kid. But that's okay! Because I did what everyone said a kid couldn't do.
What's happening?
I made it to Shell City. And I beat the Cyclops. And I rode the Hasselhoff. And I brought the crown back. So yeah, I'm a kid. And I'm also a goofball. And a wingnut. And a knucklehead McSpazitron. But most of all, I'm...
Take it easy.
I'm a Goofy Goober!
Put your toys away.
So I have a weird thing with this movie. I all my life I've had trouble sleeping, and I used to as a young lad, I used to help myself go to sleep. I wouldn't watch it. What's the word I'm looking for? I would quote by quote say the lines of this movie in my head, and I always got to the part where they were in the thug tug, that boat where the bubbles were. I would always get to there when I fell asleep.
I lost my contact.
But I would go through the movie like line by line. That's how many times I watched this as a kid.
Mm.
So that's just like a weird little factoid. Now I just sit in existential, you know, silence. I just lay in bed and think, oh god, everything costs so much.
And yet you receive so little.
I can't sleep ever.
Can't see, but I'm giving Kyle a good hug.
He gave me a nice warm hug.
You're not getting that from me.
Now I understand why Claire married him.
Yeah, for that.
Yes, for the mounting. So, real quick, this movie has to have taken place in an alternate universe.
Yeah. Why is that?
Because
Krusty Krab 2 never existed.
Yeah, Perch Perkins looks different in this movie than he did in the series before.
Well, also,
he looks completely different. He's a different, like, fish. King Neptune looks different than he did in the other episode where King Neptune, the one where, like, King Neptune made, like, 100 burgers, and then SpongeBob made, like, one crab.
Was that before?
Hold on. That was before.
Okay.
And the Krusty Krab 2 never reappears, and Plankton goes to jail. All of this points to an alternate reality, because Steven Hillenburg, this is the last project that he worked on with SpongeBob where he was the showrunner. He was still like executive producer, but he was off pretty much doing his own thing after this, because this was supposed to be the finale of the show.
Wow, that would be a short run for the show then.
Yeah, it would have been 1999 to 2004, so about like a 5-year run. But it was only 3 seasons.
But those 3 seasons?
They're the best 3 seasons.
It's golden.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, they're yellow.
What? I don't even know what you said. That's how unfunny
they're yellow, not golden. Because
they're absorbent and yellow.
Yeah, and porous are they. SpongeBob SquarePants.
I'm lost. I don't know.
No, that's a different show.
or maybe the same show, just in a different universe. I didn't know that there was a multiverse of SpongeBob.
Yeah.
Well, once again, because Chris took about 25 minutes to do the recap, What's the movie about, guys?
I think, I mean, it's pretty clearly about growing up, right?
Yeah.
But
is it?
Yes.
Or is it about not growing up?
I think it's about holding on to that bit of you that hasn't grown up in a grown-up world.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because the first, it's been said before that the first half of life is about shedding your childhood, and the second half of your life is about finding or refinding what it was you lost in that childhood. And I think that kind of shows here. It's, you know, kind of a balance on that.
Well, what we enter here is what I like to call the T-Rex paradox.
Mm-hmm.
For those of you who don't know, in Step Brothers, near the end, what's the dad's name?
I couldn't tell you what the dad's name
the
was.
The dad, John C. Reilly's. Or as Chris would say, J.C. Reilly's.
Yeah, J.C. Reilly's. J.C. Penney's.
His father has a story near the end where he says, you know, when I was, I used to love being a T-Rex, playing as a T-Rex. And then my father was like, grow up, get a job, you worthless piece of shit. You're 17. And then the dad stopped doing his T-Rex and he grew up. And now he's just kind of this lame doctor. He's super successful, but you know, but he forgot how to play as a T-Rex.
Yeah.
And I think that's what this movie's about. Mm-hmm. Is like you said, holding on to what gives you life, you know, while maintaining a responsible adulthood.
Yeah. Cause I mean, in a civilization or even just, I would just say as you live, you do have to grow up. And that's one of that's one of the things that's the best and yet the worst parts of life is that you do have to grow up. You do have to adopt some sort of responsibility. You do have to be acceptable in a social world, but you don't want to do that in a way that makes you lose, let's say, your soul. And that's kind of as a famous professor on this podcast might say, the paradox of life.
No, yeah, and I agree. Hence the T-Rex paradox. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, to summarize that is in order to be successful, you have to grow up. Mm-hmm. But in order to be fulfilled, you have to stay young or
at
whatever.
Heart. Yeah,
right.
Young at heart, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what's so interesting because I really, really like the opening, like, dream sequence in this. Mm-hmm. Like, not only is it incredibly funny, like, just how serious it's played, whereas, like, the guy is, like, trembling, like, in his chair because, like, he doesn't have cheese on there. And there's, like, cops all around the building. Mm-hmm. SpongeBob's called in. He's got, like, boots with, like, spurs on him. And he walks in. He's like, hey, buddy, you're going to get taken care of. And he's bringing the cheese out. And he's like, come on, you got a name? He's like, Phil or something. He goes, come on, Phil, you got a family? And then Phil just starts crying. And he goes, come on, Phil, stay with me.
Yeah.
Like, well, that's hilarious.
Well, it is, but I want to point out, I think what's important is in this film, everybody wants something, maybe besides Patrick.
Yeah.
You know, he's our oddball out, though. Everybody wants something that is material, you know, a position of success, you know, whatever, money, paycheck, be left alone, whatever.
World power. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Except, again, maybe for Patrick.
Yeah.
But it's interesting that SpongeBob says, Phil or whatever, he goes, I got a wife and two beautiful kids. And then SpongeBob goes, that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Which contradicts what SpongeBob's purpose is in this film to get that position.
Well, see, I don't actually think that's a contradiction. I think, and this is what the point I was going to get to, is that not only is it incredibly funny, but that opening dream is emblematic of what a child believes being an adult is about.
That's what I was about to say.
And that's what I love so much about it is because like it's this hyper stylized, because when you're a child, you see adults as like almost like living gods. Like your parents are the gods, right? And you think as a child, it's like, oh man, when I get older, I'm going to be able to do all this stuff. I'm going to be great and important. And then you grow up and you realize, oh shit, it's actually kind of fucking boring being an adult. Like actually being an adult and not being like us, where we're adults, but we're still fun, you know? Mm-hmm. Right.
which I think is what SpongeBob is, because he has those people in his life. Like, okay, he has the adult side of his life, which is Mr. Krabs, and then he has the friend that grounds him in his childhood, which is Patrick.
Yeah.
And so SpongeBob is kind of that gray area. It's like whenever any episode where he's not working at the Krusty Krab, he's goofing off with Patrick, and he's, you know, a kid. But whenever it's an episode where it focuses on the Krusty Krab, especially one where Patrick is involved, we see that SpongeBob
takes on that leadership,
does have the adult responsibility.
Like the infamous pickle jar.
Or
when Patrick works there. Dude, that episode where he works there and he's sweeping, but he's using like the top side of the broom. And this guy just comes in with a drink in hand. He goes, So what'd you just blow in from Stupid Town? That's like the funniest line in the entire world. I say that at work all the time when someone does something wrong.
What's her name?
Yeah. if she listens to this.
Girl name.
Yeah, you know who you are, Stephanie. So that's not her name, but
Rachel.
I don't. Yeah. Oh. So so what I was gonna say too is it's like the noble child, it's not that they don't want to grow up and be responsible, like their role models, right? It's not that they don't want to do that. It's just in their current state, they're too undeveloped to where they can only imagine adult life manifesting in childish ways. And that's what's so profound, I think, about that opening, is that we see what he thinks the life is going to be like. And then, you know, obviously, like, it's a cartoon, so it is still childish in its ways, but he gets beaten down, I would say, a little bit by the real world to a point where he almost dies.
Well, we can call the real world, if we want to, Dennis. It is the opposite side of that extreme adulthood.
Yeah, well, I would say just all the antagonists. Because there's a weird, like, and I'm not entirely sure what to make of this because I didn't think about this too much, but there's like the side like of Plankton and Mr. Krabs being like business, what's the opposite of partners?
Rivals?
Rivals, thank you.
Well,
yeah, and there's like a whole like there's some sort of capitalist message, I'm sure, hidden in there because it's a Hollywood movie, so there has to be. But I just think that's kind of interesting as well. Like, there's all these forces at play that externally grow SpongeBob up. And he is able to do that because he does say a very grown up thing, you know, because the whole movie he's wanting to be something greater. And he says, well, you know, I'm just going to be who I am. And that is a grown up. I mean, we can get into why that may not work on a societal level, but we can at least say that that is a wise thing to say for an individual, right? To truly embody as well, not just to parrot.
And have that realization, number one, that can be articulated.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, regardless, everything he did for the sake, at least like the whole journey and everything he did for the sake of someone else and not himself.
Not only someone else, but Mr. Krabs, who had the power to fulfill his dream,
his greatest wish,
and still SpongeBob sacrificed his life several times to get that back.
When Squidward would not do that.
Right. Because SpongeBob, and this has been notorious of his character since the beginning, he's never once been a selfish person. I honestly, now, post this movie, I haven't seen as many of the SpongeBob episodes, but I know I've seen every single episode of the first three seasons at least like four or five times. There's not a single instance of him being selfish in those episodes, except for the one where Plankton's involved. There's two. There's one where he goes to the beach and Plankton tells him to be like assertive and stuff, but even then he gives everything back at the very end. And then there's the other one where Plankton takes control of his brain and like literally like walks him like through the walls and stuff. There's those times that I would say he's being selfish, but he's not in control of himself at one point, and then he gives everything back at the other. So SpongeBob's not a selfish person. And I think, first of all, I don't think he's a kid if we're looking at that, because I think kids are selfish. Because why would you not be? Because children don't develop
the ability to have abstract thoughts until you're 12, and that exists within like the idea of other people existing beyond you. So it's, yeah. I mean, I agree with your point. Like, why would you not be? But also, like, is it even necessarily possible?
Possible? What do you mean?
To not be selfish in some aspect.
I feel like SpongeBob is selfish in some aspect because, like, okay, well, at the very end of the movie, where he's like presented with the management.
Now, are you kidding me? I was just gonna tell you your fly was down.
Yeah, well, Squidward like is about to hand it to him, and he's like, "No, I can't take it." And then Squidward's like, "Oh, I see. You understand that this does not define you. This isn't what you need." And
yeah.
SpongeBob's like, "Huh, I'm just joking. Yeah, I'll take it because it's what I want."
Yeah. Well, I would say, then we start getting into the weeds. Let's define selfishness. Because if you are, I don't think it's selfish to want to better yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think specifically SpongeBob wants to be manager so he can help more people. It's not that he wants manager because he wants the power, he wants the money or anything like that.
Yeah.
His goal is to just serve people at the Krusty Krab. And he thinks that he can do that better as the manager. Or he can do it more effectively or whatever. So I think I understand what you're saying with that, but I don't think that's inherently selfish. Like, I don't think it's selfish for you to be like, "Hey, you know, I want to get this job that's paying higher level, and I'm going to leave this place to go do it because it's a better opportunity for me." I don't think that's selfish.
Mm-hmm.
You're bettering yourself. So, there was something I was going to say about, about children being able to develop abstract thought. It's the Adam and Eve story is essentially that it's children, because they act very childlike in there. They're naked for one, because they don't understand their vulnerability. They don't understand how to hurt anybody. That's why they're able to show the thing that makes them the most vulnerable, open willy nilly, But they're able to do that, and then once they eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they develop. The first thing they do after they eat that is that they realize that they're naked, which means they understand their own vulnerability. Which means if you know how you're vulnerable, you know how somebody else is vulnerable. Which means now you can hurt them, or now you know how to hurt them. And after that, they clothe themselves, and then that's when God's like, "Yo, what the hell are you guys doing? You've gone from being selfless to now selfish." Mm-hmm. Is essentially what I'm saying.
Well, right, intent, right? If the like you say, if your will is to enact more suffering,
yeah,
on a person, on a populace, whatever, then that is what becomes selfish. Yeah.
I also lost my point in the middle of talking there, but I mean, I just straight up lost what I was trying to say. But I think there's
you know what he was saying. Yeah. You know. You
there's
know,
something there. I'd have to backtrack because I feel like I sped through my explanation and that's why I got lost. But let's see. The Beautiful Lie. Ding, 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 bling, 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 bling. Yeah, The Beautiful Lie in this movie is the mermaid magic.
It doesn't exist, bro. And what's wild, because I do, there are definitely elements of manliness, however you want to call it, in this film. And I mentioned this earlier. I think maybe a more appropriate epitomization, hyperbolistic epitomization of manliness is what Dennis is.
Yeah.
And I think, and we can go back to the kid stuff as well, the fact that, you know, SpongeBob and Patrick weren't men, weren't adults, is exactly why they succeeded. Because if we look at what Dennis represents, right, the idea of manliness, he can grow a bush of a mustache in an instant, right? He rides a motorcycle. He's got, you know, he's pimped out, yada, yada, yada. That's what a man is. That's manliness.
Yeah.
And SpongeBob and Patrick, again, are the opposite of that. But if they were men, right, then they wouldn't have succeeded. I know I'm repeating myself, but I'm getting there.
Yeah.
Because, like we're talking about, that is represented by selfishness, right? They've got one job. Dennis has one job to do, and he's going to do it relentlessly and ruthlessly.
Yeah.
And, you know, we come out of the trenches, and SpongeBob says in this moment of manliness when they have the mustaches on, he's like, we made it through this trench, something about all those hideous and ugly monsters. And then the monsters go, oh, and he goes, oh, not you guys.
You guys are great.
You guys are great, but it will, but he only does that because he's a man now. Right? So I don't know exactly the point I'm making per se, but it
exists. What's the excess? It's the excess, because there's an overcompensation.
Right.
Because there's certainly, like, obviously, like, there's a placebo effect with the mustaches and everything. Mm-hmm. But this is why I'm getting to the beautiful lie aspect, because this is the quote that opens up the movie Batman v Superman, which there was a time above, a time before. There were perfect things, diamond absolutes, but things fall, things on Earth. And what falls is fallen. In the dream, they took me to a light, a beautiful lie. And then that's how the movie opens. The point that I'm making is that there is a connection between the mermaid magic and, I think, the idea of God. Which, that's what that quote's about, obviously, is that the beautiful lie is that it's a beautiful lie because when somebody tells you that God exists, it's comforting, but there's no way to prove it, for one. And then, obviously, the lie aspect comes into the fact that people are like, well, if suffering exists, then God must not be a morally absolute person, or if God is a morally absolute person, then suffering shouldn't exist. You know, that kind of thing.
You just gotta believe.
So I think it's interesting that she uses this power to trick them into gaining confidence. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of interesting, I mean, because you could draw a line from this to religion, but even to authoritarianism, which is to tell a lie that makes people feel safe and sure of themselves. Again, you can make a connection between religion or authoritarianism, either way, and I think that's
right.
I think you can say whatever you want about that. I think this one has to do more. Oh gosh, I don't know which one it would fall on more.
I think I would say, well, I would probably say authoritarianism just because of Plankton's character.
Yeah,
but in the same scope, it could kind of fall under this religious, like, godlike.
Yeah.
Thing. I know you were talking about the Egyptians.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
It's kind of what Plankton. is almost pharaoh like.
Yeah. Because he has everybody building all it's like the common, like, Jews in the Exodus imagery, even though the Jews were around after the pyramids were built.
But Chris, to what you said, you said, but they make it through.
Yeah.
And they do. And I do think that's partially because they have the mustaches, but that gives them the confidence. However, I will say it's not because of their belief. They still treat the monsters like they hand bone together. Mm-hmm. You know, they bro out.
Yeah.
So it's not this, what we see is to represent an excess of manliness. It's not.
It's their idea. It's going back to the dream sequence. It's their idea of what adult life is like.
It's more the idea that they are presented. Not really the image of Dennis, but more just the image of, like they're told that they can't make it to Shell City just because they're not men.
Right.
So as soon as they are men, they can still be themselves, and they can still do what they set out to achieve.
Yeah, it's
at that point in the story.
Well, and I agree.
I think we could look at SpongeBob and Patrick and say, okay. Going by the old-fashioned definition of what a man is, they are not that, right? And so just by telling them...
Well,
just by telling them, being like... Because everybody says, no, you can't do it because you're kids. Yeah. And if one person says, no, now you're... Magically, you're a man now. They go, oh, then now I can do it. And they do.
Yeah.
They do it, and I mean, once it's shattered from them, they lose their confidence.
Dennis is like,
again.
No, this is what a man looks like.
Right.
And they're like, oh, well, then I guess we can't do it. Right. And that's really the kid side of them, because especially when you're a kid, especially when you're told by an adult that something is a certain way or you can't do this, then you just take their word.
Well, yeah, right, because they know.
Because again, they're little gods, essentially.
And really by the end, SpongeBob is like, no, I mean, nobody knows the right way to life. Yeah. And the best way to live is to
be
what is best for you, what is true to you. Because I did it the way everybody said that I can't, and I did it anyway.
Yeah.
They're the only ones that can do it.
$10. They're the only ones who know. I think...
Continue.
I was just going to go to a separate thought, so if you had something...
So was I. Okay. Well, I was going to talk about the Goofy Goober song. Okay. I don't know if that's in your notes.
No, I wasn't going to talk about that.
I was going to bring up the significance of that song, specifically on when it is used. It's used in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
It's introduced in the beginning with SpongeBob and Patrick. This is before he goes to the opening ceremony. Mm-hmm. He's full of hope. So he's clinging on to that childlike wonder of like the Goofy Goober song. Oh, I am a Goofy Goober. You're a Goofy Goober. We can be kids. And then when he's shot down and he goes and he wastes himself away, they sang the song then, but it's more of a mourning for his childhood, a mourning for his dreams that he lost. And so the third time when we see it is when he's basically being shamed for being a kid at the bar. He's
Thug Tug.
At the Thug Tug.
Which is because, a hilarious boat name, but go ahead.
Yeah, they're using it as a way to find out who is not a man. And you should be ashamed of the song. You should repress your childhood. Mm-hmm. And that's what a man is to some people.
Which it's funny because...
Repression of emotion.
Yeah. Two of the men who sing it are men.
Yeah, which proves that... And it doesn't mean that they're not men. It doesn't mean that they're not men. It means that they still have that bit of childlike of their childhood in them.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently, to some people, you just can't have that at all be a man.
And of course, the last time you hear it,
and the last time
no, we hear it when they're dying.
Yeah, we.
It's the one last. It's the thing that helps them cling on to life
that and greet death,
but it's also it's also their realization that they were a kid and they succeeded.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end, it's them telling Bikini Bottom that you can be a kid and still succeed. Fuck what everybody else says.
Well, and what's difficult too,
and there's more lyrics to it at the end,
which
I think are important.
Put your toys away, never, like I said, and again, and then I say it away. No way, no freaking way.
Well, even it's like when you become a kid, or like you go out to college, you need to sell all the toys that you had, all the action figures, all the stuffed animals.
Yo, guess who's got toys right now? Yeah. Me.
Yeah.
I got Bakugan. I got Blade. I get Pokemon cards.
bleep that out, please. Bleep that out.
I got.
What's our timestamp?
Okay, where are we at?
103.
Oh,
it's your fault, Chris.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. I do.
Wait, I wasn't done. Fuck, I forgot.
Yeah.
I want to remember. Give me just a second.
You don't have to throw away your childhood to be a man.
No, that's not what I was gonna say.
That's interesting what you said, though, about those songs. I hadn't considered their placement and what they mean.
Oh, I remember now.
That's pretty cool.
It sucks, basically, because I think what the Thug Tug represents, and really Bikini Bottom as a whole, is that you kind of need this massive societal upheaval to get that thought across. Because, sure, people can believe it, right? But if nobody enacts that, then it essentially doesn't exist. Right. Now, George Orwell might disagree. $10.
Agree about what?
Well, that nothing exists unless it's in the corporeal plane.
Oh.
Like thoughts don't exist in you can say I'm gonna bomb, a movie theater like I did with Fast Five or whatever.
You did
Black
say
Widow.
That, yeah.
It was Black Widow.
But as long as it doesn't happen, it doesn't exist. in 1984, George Orwell writes with Newspeak that basically thoughts do exist in the corporeal plane. But until someone takes that leap, right, and then the people who still believe it can accept that leap, then it doesn't exist.
Well, in 1984, the reason that the thoughts were so important is because, I mean, because thoughts lead to action eventually. Right. Well, they may not when they're seeds, right, in your brain, but eventually that seed grows into something that is unsuppressible by your human nature, right? And
that's why you gotta get rid of it before it happens.
Yeah, and that's kind of what it's part of what it's about. Anyways, I do want to talk really, really quick, as quick as I can, about the failure of the state.
We got plenty of time.
You can edit my recap.
So maybe that does play a part here. Then is because SpongeBob and Patrick have these ideas that we can do it, even though we are kids, but people still come back and say, no, you can't, because you're a kid. So snuffing out that idea of even being able to before they have a chance to try it.
Yeah. No, certainly. And it takes somewhere like, I don't know, like 20% of the population to force the other 80% into doing whatever they want. Cause it's I forgot what this is called, but essentially imagine a family of four and one of them decides to go vegan. Right now, the mom or whoever's cooking the meal has two choices. She can either make two meals, one that's vegan, one that's not, or just make one meal, right? Just one vegan meal. Okay. Now the entire family's vegan. All right. Now imagine this family goes to a block party. And they tell them, okay, well, our family's vegan, but you can do whatever you want. You can eat whatever meat you want, but we have to have vegan stuff. So the people at the block party, they have whoever is cooking that food has to decide, okay, am I going to cook two different meals? Am I going to cook a vegan thing, or am I going to cook meat and a vegan thing? And some people will just decide to go full vegan. Now, one person's choice has affected an entire neighborhood. That's how you renormalize society. Essentially, that's what's happened now. Woo! Yeah. So anyways, I did want to talk about the failure of the state with King Neptune and how that relates to the story of Horus and Osiris. This is what I was talking about. This is what I was talking about with Egyptian mythology. So essentially, like, King Neptune just avoids all of his fucking duties, right? Like, like, nice fucking duties. I wish I had fucking duties, am I right?
I don't want to fuck a duty.
I'll be all right, but anyways, Chris went and mounted again. So I think
smoke up and short out.
I know King Neptune is a monarch, but I think he's emblematic of a politician because he's so focused on his image that he leaves everything else to the wayside. An actual dictator rises up in his kingdom. And this man's focused on getting hair on his head.
Well, think about how he lost his crown. He had it, he set it down, and it was gone.
Yeah.
Like, that's literally what happened. Attention.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. Like, every adult in this show is flawed by their own insecurities. Every adult. Krabs, it's like losing his money. Plankton, it's staying in the pit that he's in.
Well, it's about what they want.
Yeah, it's always about what they want. And SpongeBob has never, leading up to the movie, he's never fallen into that pit until the beginning of this movie.
And even then.
And for that short period of time, until he is presented with a new purpose, he turns into them. He basically just wastes himself away until he's given. Because, I don't think that the whole, like, management position, I don't think to him it's necessarily success. It is,
Well, like Kyle said, well, opportunity.
Not necessarily opportunity. It's basically how he is looked at by the people that he looks up to, which is a big thing about being a kid, because Mr. Krabs is kind of like his father figure. And so, like, being a very, like, outstanding employee and being employee of the month and upholding that, maintaining that reputation is important to him, because if he's not the person that he needs to be for his people, then what is he?
Hmm.
And so I think that's what it, I don't think it's success. I don't think it's the opportunity, because I think that's just Crusty Crab is where he wants to stay, but for that reason, because that is his family and that's his purpose.
Family.
Yeah.
But he goes back to himself when he has another purpose to deliver for Mr. Krabs.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's certainly in his selfless nature to, to want to be able to do things for other, and that's going to supersede any other desires that he may have.
Yeah.
Which could be very detrimental to a person. I know people, I almost gave away who that was. I know somebody who is like that and has commented on how detrimental that is to themselves. And that's a real thing. You know, some people are, I'm not looking at you because I thought you were grabbing your nipple at me.
Oh, I can.
Yeah. Well, now I don't want to. I saw your hand move, and I thought.
Especially when I was
a kid. I grabbed my nipple.
especially when I was a kid, I have felt that. It's not necessarily about what I'm getting out of it. It's how
much can I help somebody else,
especially someone that I look up to. It's the idea of failing them that hurts you, and especially when you're a kid.
Well, and it's like that thing. It's like when your dad goes, "I'm not mad at you.
I'm disappointed." Yeah, shit hurts.
Damn,
it definitely hurts someone like SpongeBob.
Wait, you do the Raphael. Damn.
Mm-hmm.
Back to failure of the state.
But yes, okay, so. Anyways, King Neptune, obviously, like, he's not doing anything. And this is the reason I wanted to point out the Osiris and Horus story is that in the Egyptian mythology of the creation of Horus, right? Osiris is essentially the king of the underworld, he's king of everything. And he gets really old, right? And essentially, the story was probably written, or at least spoken of, during a time before the Egyptian state grew to major power. And this is when the state was in a decline, right? The state was getting old. It was getting tired. And the state was killed by the bad guy, Set, right? And Set kills Osiris, and he chops him up into pieces, and he scatters him out throughout the underworld and everything. Well, Osiris's wife, I think it's Isis, if I'm not mistaken. She finds his penis essentially and impregnates herself with it, and then out of that union is born Horus. And Horus is eventually, like, you know, he grows up and he's very strong, and he represents he's a demigod. He's the son of the god of the state, and as an individual, he is the one who ventures down into the underworld, puts the pieces of Osiris back together, and, you know, they defeat Set or whatever. But in doing so, he has to give up his eye, right? And, yeah, it's the eye of Horus, right? He has to give a part of himself to bring back, to rejuvenate the state, essentially. And that's a story that Egyptians tell themselves, is because you have to realize that the state can fall into tyranny of a dictator or whatever through your lack of vision, right? Because you fall asleep, because you are not aware all the time, because you get old and tired, right? That's the story that Egyptians are trying to tell people. And I think that's what happens with King Neptune, is very similar to that. He is Osiris. He lets his guard down and he has something taken from him. And then everything goes to hell, and it's up to Horus, SpongeBob, to put the pieces together, bring the pieces back to Osiris, to King Neptune, and he almost loses himself in that part. He almost dies, and that's, you know, I think it's a very archetypal story, and I think it's done so for a reason. I think it's important.
So let me ask you this: I have Horus, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is the an Egyptian symbol for well-being and protection.
Yeah.
Right? When SpongeBob is in the Thug Tug, what does he lose, supposedly?
Contacts.
He loses a contact, which is what? for your eye.
Yeah, it's true. Or your cell phone.
Okay. but not only that, which eye? It's the left eye, right? The eye of Horus is the left eye, right?
I think so. I don't know off the top of my head.
Which?
I mean, I just said, like, an Egyptian story, like, really quickly, but I'm not an Egyptian mythology expert. It is the expert.
Left hand that okay. SpongeBob uses.
So it's, well, it's also two left hands. So the Eye of Horus is the left eye. Eye of Ra is the right eye.
Yeah.
The guy with the eye patch, he lifts up the eye patch on his left eye. Steven Hillenburg, we see you.
Yeah, he knows Red Egyptian mythology. Yeah, but I just think that's a really interesting story. And there's actually a lot of similarities between the Horus story and the Jesus story, too.
Well,
but
not only that's a whole... I mean, that's a, like you said, archetypal. I mean, there are countless. I mean, what is most often a hero is just that.
It's somebody who rejuvenates the state.
Right, a failure of a state that then brings it back.
Yeah, it's archetypal for a reason. Because it's something that's important. You have to watch out for that. That's why you as the individual are the hero when you are watching out for the sleeping state.
Well, and like take a
because
look.
Because the enemy is coming, right? Right. The flood is coming. Everything in the future is potentially chaos, and that is going to appear, and it's up to you to prepare for it.
Well, that's why the diplomats or whatever, the politicians in Horton Hears a Who are so like fundamentally wrong.
Oh, yeah.
They're saying like nothing bad has happened, so nothing bad will happen.
Yeah.
You know, and to say that is...
It's incredibly moronic.
Yeah.
And even if you had just a cursory knowledge of the history of literally anything, then you would realize how deeply, deeply stupid that is. But yeah, I think that's good. Again, I'm not an Egyptian mythology expert.
I am. I read the Rick Riordan books.
Like, I'm very familiar with Mesopotamian mythology and Greek and Roman mythology more so than the Egyptian one, and I don't know anything about Asian mythology, like pretty much nothing
about. I know like a little bit. I like the yokai and like the susunu.
Like I understand,
shout out to my Naruto guys,
like I understand like Taoism or something, or like Confucianism, like I understand. And Buddhism, I understand those. Yeah, I just don't know the school.
Speaking
the
of yokai, you guys should watch the Yokai Bob the Builder on Meat Canyon. That shit's awesome.
That's okay. Anyway, back to SpongeBob.
Anytime you say Meat Canyon, I immediately turn my brain off.
So I also think that this film is about friendship.
Yeah,
and I think what did you what episode was that, Chris, when you went friendship?
I can't remember.
What was it?
Of the podcast?
Yeah.
Are you saying that I said it like that?
No, but I'm making fun of you.
Yeah, I know you are, and I know what it is, and I'm not going to say it.
What was it?
Because I was pretty sure he was making fun of me, but I didn't know, and now I know, so.
All right, well, I'll just sit here in silence and look it up.
It was the Tenacious D episode.
Okay, that's what I thought. but again, I think Chris is onto something. Same thing when he went in Fast Five and went, family.
Yeah.
But I think he's right.
Or my favorite one, aircraft characters.
but I think he's right. I think this film impartially is about friendship.
Yeah.
Because SpongeBob would not have been able to do any of this without
Patrick.
Well,
I didn't say it was about
Which
friendship.
Is funny because Patrick messes up.
No, I know, but it's those one words that you use.
It's funny that like because you almost look at it objectively and you're like, with as much as Patrick
doesn't or
actively does against what SpongeBob is trying to do, he still couldn't have done it without,
because there's several times that SpongeBob switches tones and he goes, no Patrick, that's
like he turns from kid to adult for a second to parent for a second.
Well, there's the bit like right outside the thug tug where they're like sitting under the window, and what does Patrick say about what was his first idea?
We can go in and ask for it.
Yeah,
Patrick, like, that's a terrible idea.
He goes, Patrick, that's a terrible idea.
at the end, before David Hasselhoff comes out, he's reading the instructions. SpongeBob's reading the instructions.
And he's like,
but he turns around and he's like, Patrick, do you still have that? He turns around with this huge bolt coming out of his butt.
Yeah, he goes, yeah, and then they both laugh, and then he pulls it out of like a pocket that's completely separate from that, and the bolt is still there.
I really want to know what that is.
Dude, he took a massive shit. That's what it was. He shit bricks, literally, because it's in the shape of a brick.
But yeah, he does that too. But in that same scope, honestly, they might not have gotten there in time if they would have used the bag of wind.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe
potentially.
Not. Yeah.
What's the wind guy?
Because how would they have gotten into
the wind guy?
The wind guy. Hold on.
Oh, Mace
talking.
Windu.
No.
Come on, that's funny.
Guy?
It's like Arius or something. Oh. Boreas is probably who I'm thinking about.
Those are the Greek.
Eurus? Something. One
those,
of the guys.
Those are the...
One of the guys gives somebody a bag of wind. And oh, who was it? It's in Odysseus. Who
in
gives...
the Odyssey?
Yeah.
A bag of wind.
Yeah, the bag.
Oh,
wins.
For like the sails.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Aeolus.
Okay, Aeolus. Yeah.
No. Aeolus.
Chris, where are you going?
Where are you going?
We're almost done.
No. Like I'm staying in this room.
Oh. Okay.
Oh, why'd you grab your keys?
He said I'm gonna pull my car in here.
Not now.
I'm ready.
Now.
I'm ready. I'm
for it.
I'm ready for Blondie.
Hey.
You know who you are.
Blondie.
Anyway. But there's also several like couplings of friends that occur. There's the mustard and ketchup.
Yeah.
There's the Goofy Goober guys. There's more, but I don't remember because I forgot because we sang Zombie.
The monsters were friends.
Yes, the monsters were first. So there's just a bunch of people that are friends. Later, we see in the SpongeBob series that Plankton and Crabs are also friends, or were.
Yeah.
So there's that as well. Also, Felix Felicis, $10. Same thing with the mustaches.
Oh, same that's movie. That Harry Potter spell.
Not a spell. It's a potion.
Oh, is that the lucky one?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
That's something.
Okay.
Ready or not, here I come.
Ready or not, scale. Did anybody? Oh, well, David Hasselhoff.
Oh, he got kind of exploded.
Yeah.
Can you count, like, I mean, technically their heads exploded when the bug heads exploded. So.
No, that is incorrect.
The bug
their heads
exploded.
Did not explode, Chris. You're thinking of Kingsman. $10.
You just you're thinking of the end of Kingsman after the bombs go off. $10.
You know.
We can do anal. Dude, that rocked my world when I first saw that. I said, what
yeah,
the
I
fuck?
Was like,
Swedish
yo.
People. I need to go to Sweden.
Anyway.
That would be Sweden.
If you save world, we can
I'll
do
give
with
it
an asshole.
I'll give it a 2.5 out of 5.
Okay.
As good as this movie is, it only gets 2.5.
On the ready or not scale.
On the ready or not scale.
I think
scale.
That's fair enough.
Yeah. All right.
You guys really didn't argue with that one, did you, huh?
What?
I was trying to think of a
here
funny
you go.
Sound
here
effect.
Here you go. I'll give you $10. Ooh-wee. Whoa. Are you ready?
The Disney Channel original movie Lemonade Mouth.
No,
yes,
not at all.
Thank you.
Not
good
at all.
One. Good one. Deep cut.
Not at all.
This was a straight up freestyle. All right. Yo, you made it here. It's the end of the series. It's the end of the summer. The summer series. It's Al Pacino podcast. That's what we like to do on Sundays. We don't go to church. No, we don't pray. We just sit and play games, but we don't play games. We just call out names of other people that we know when we're doing the podcast. We talk about movies, and I'm sarcastic. I said that in the Black Widow one. I'm very ADHD. I'm a son of a man who didn't have ADHD. So he hit me when I fucked up. He didn't really do that. He's a good dad. I am not cool. I'm kind of rad.
Chris has to take a shit.
I have to take a shit. I didn't get to finish it.
Okay. Oh, we didn't say anything that was going to cancel us this
time. Oh, Stout and Sauerkraut.
Stout and Sauerkraut.
Stout and Sauerkraut.
This is why we need to record video as well.